everybody. Welcome to the ASF Weekly Science Podcast. Did you not love the introductory music? Only parents between the ages of like 60 and 45 might appreciate it, but who cares? It's perfect for this podcast. This has been a tough week for the United States, and since the United States is so interconnected with the rest of the world, people outside the U.S. may be worried.
I don't know how a study design could prevent someone from receiving a different intervention, but maybe it was just the way things played out for the different studies.
To give you a sense of how many autistic people could be helped, the authors estimated that physical activity interventions might be able to benefit communication in about 1/7 of the autistic participants and improve social functioning in about 1/5 of the autistic participants. Guess what? So, in this podcast, we're going to learn all the ways physical activity can be beneficial, what types of physical activity have been studied, and what could contribute to lack of physical activity. So let's start with what causes it. Several studies, including the one I'm about to describe, show that people with ASD exhibit less physical activity. Now, a new study, a longitudinal study to boot, which tracks kids on a number of dimensions, including things like TV watching and video game playing, as well as physical activity, looked at the differences between those with ASD and without ASD. They found that at ages 9, 13, and 17, kids with ASD were getting far less physical activity, especially medium and high intensity physical activity. Well, first, physical activity interventions do provide opportunities for people to interact with each other, and then with their
video
games really didn't differ between ASD and neurotypical kids. Kids with ASD did spend more time on video games at 9 years, but not at 13 years. And by 17 years, both groups actually don't play that many video games. Now, clearly, the effects were small, and more time playing video games at age 9 cannot explain the differences in physical activity at ages 9, 13, and 17. Now, playing a lot of video games or watching TV doesn't help things in general, but it also doesn't explain why there's a difference in physical activity between those with and without ASD. It could be, in fact, things like lack of social support in those with ASD, lack of inclusion in team-based sports, and stress from social interaction in sports, which causes a discrepancy. But rather than focus on video games, let's focus on physical activity. Was this the only study to show changes in physical activity across people with autism compared to those without? No, it is not. There are plenty of other studies that show this. But can a physical activity intervention improve autism symptoms? Activities should or are actually done by themselves in the absence of other evidence-based interventions. Now, luckily, a study published out of Australia this month added on a yoga intervention to half the participants in a study looking at cognitive behavioral intervention for emotional regulation in 8 to 12-year-olds. This means everybody was getting CBT, but they added on yoga for half of them and then looked at the differences between the groups. They evaluated the effects with this additional yoga intervention on parent-reported executive function, sleep, anxiety, and emotional awareness. Now, since the parents knew that these kids were getting yoga, could they have been a little bit biased? Maybe. There were small effects on executive function and sleep, and non-significant effects on the other measures. There were some tiny changes in some of the questions around emotional awareness. Now, some of the changes were not seen at the end of the actual yoga training, but were seen 6 weeks after the yoga intervention ended. Hopefully that means yoga continued at home, but the classes themselves did not. The yoga intervention did include something called nighttime progressive muscle relaxation, which is probably helpful independently of any other yoga you do. The study said IQ was collected in some of the kids, but the effects of IQ on the intervention were not reported. CBT is more effective in those with higher to normal IQ scores. Now, this was a pilot study. There were about 30 in each group. But I say, yoga doesn't really seem harmful if it's taught by an expert and used with age-appropriate modifications.
So if you want to try yoga, go for it, but don't give up your more evidence-based interventions. Finally, an intervention near and dear to my heart, cycling. A study out of Boston performed a meta-analysis of lower extremity cycling in those with intellectual disability, but not necessarily ASD. The goal was to see if that those with intellectual disability could eventually learn to ride a two-wheeled bike. However, out of 200 total participants across 8 studies, actually 72, or about 30% of them, had an ASD diagnosis as well as intellectual disability. The studies were done in treatment settings. There was some structure to them. This wasn't about just telling your child with an intellectual disability to go out and ride a bike around the neighborhood. It was one-on-one or group instructions on how to ride an actual moving bike or participate in cycling on a stationary bike. There were trained staff involved providing encouragement, support, instruction, and of course, on different types of bicycles. Some of the activities were intense, like 75 minutes per day for 3 days a week. Some were more recreational. Some were outside, some were inside. Some were not randomized or had a control group. Only one of them looked at cognitive outcomes. Basically, the results of kids with ID suggest that kids can learn how to ride a bike, but it isn't 100%. The evidence suggests that children and adolescents with intellectual disability can learn to ride a two-wheeled bicycle in a short-term intervention given appropriate supports. Now, I mention it because it improves physical activity, which is a good thing. Only one study looked at cognitive ability. It did have some but weak effects on cognitive ability. The rest didn't really even look at it. This, again, could be publication bias. Studies may have looked at it, but those that looked at it and didn't find anything were not published. While I love my stationary bike, that doesn't mean it's going to help people with intellectual disability with or without autism. On the other hand, it doesn't seem to hurt, and it's a method of physical activity. Again, if your child is interested, then go for it. The added interaction with you as the instructor or another instructor and the development of coordination and motor skills is great. How it affects core autism symptoms is less known. So that's what we know about physical activity in ASD. It's good to be a couch potato every once in a while, but just like everyone else, getting up and getting some exercise, especially with other people, is a good thing. And don't forget, it's a stress reliever in the pandemic. While some of us are freezing cold, try to do whatever you can with your family to get some exercise. It's good for the body and it's good for the mind. Thank you for listening this week. And I'm thinking of everyone during this tumultuous time in the United States.